May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was the first person in my family to go to university. My family is neither an academic one nor a religious one. They graduated, they will tell me in no uncertain terms, from the University of Life. Songs of Praise is quite enough for them, and it's never been as good since Harry Secombe. My mother maintains that as I have got more degrees and spent more time in the church, there has been an exact and proportionate decrease in my common sense. My family's cultural reference for my work as a canon in a cathedral is Barchester Towers. Now, I know there are a few cathedral people here this evening, and I know you would want me to say that cathedral ministry is absolutely nothing like Barchester Towers. My family's cultural reference for my imminent work in a Cambridge college is mainly drawn from a 1980s drama, Porterhouse Blue, based on the book by Tom Sharp, or perhaps the crime drama Inspector Morse, where an Oxford professor hits someone over the head with a copy of Ovid's Metamorphosis, absolutely lethal. Again, there are a few university people here this evening, and you would want me to say that academic life is not at all like an episode of Inspector Morse. Emotions rarely run that high in any Oxbridge college. And I know you would want me to say that college life is absolutely nothing at all like Porterhouse Blue. There's a famous quote from that book which goes like this. If a little learning is a dangerous thing, just think what harm a lot of it can do. This evening, as we contemplate the future of education, I want us to consider what good a little learning can do. What kind of things might we really need to learn? And what kind of world might we want to use our education to build? The church and the academy are in some ways very similar kinds of institutions. Both aspire towards a vision of what could be. They both aspire to build a brave new world through the imagination, through conversation, through potential, through community, through wonder and awe. At their best, these are places to think differently, to imagine what is possible, to find solutions where until now there has only been a brick wall, places where we learn to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. These are places where our rough edges are smoothed away by the chaffing of community life. We are shaped by the meals we share around a common table, and our time spent at local watering holes. We are shaped by the things we read and sing and hear together. And we might just learn to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These are places where we teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. In these communities, we have to bear with one another. We have to learn that forgiveness is the only way to peace, and that thankfulness and gratitude are at the heart of living well. At their very best, the church and the academy model something which is worth cherishing. They can be places where we learn how to live together, in agreement and in disagreement, in anger and disappointment, in sorrow and in joy, with little and with plenty. Whilst we might all acknowledge that the church and the academy have their moments, they can be communities of kindness in this challenging world, subverting our human proclivity towards hatred, prejudice, malice, and aggression, challenging isolationism and atomization, and in their small part, creating sociability, collegiality, and good society. I wonder, did our forebears understand this when they placed chapels at the heart of their most famous seats of learning and religion as part of their statutes? Did they understand this when, from the crucible of faith, from monasteries and holy houses, universities were first formed? Scholars of every age might take note. Learning is not just about acquiring knowledge or being clever. It's also about gaining wisdom and learning about the world around us and the meaning of life, which is much more than a number. Hundreds of years after the foundation of this college, as we sit in this beautiful chapel, we are still being reminded that there is always something more to learn, and that the best kind of education is not just about the head, it is also about the heart. Mary Magdalene was an able student of the tradition. She had learnt much, sat at the feet of her master and teacher. But she sat weeping in the garden beside an empty tomb, and she wondered whether all her learning had turned to dust. As she wept, a kindly voice calls her name, and in that moment creates a new world where anything is possible and love always wins. A world where our learning is transformed and we see the world differently, when we suddenly understand what life is for. The risen Christ brings hope and possibility, and in that moment, Mary understands, not only with her head, but in her heart, and what she has learnt really will change the world. If we are brave enough to place ourselves within the arc of this resurrection narrative, we can create new worlds too, where death does not have the last word, where we are given the vision to create new communities of hope and possibility, where goodness overcomes hatred, where sins are forgiven, where the lost are found, where life is restored, where weeping turns to song, pleasant and long. One of the virtues of community that St. Paul names in his letter to the Colossians is kindness. Kindness, so often underestimated, is one virtue which I hope to embody as I serve the community of this college. And I thank all those who have shown such kindness to me as I begin this new chapter in my ministry. It doesn't take much to know that the etymology of this word is drawn from the word kindred, and it's related to how we treat one another. To be kind is to be friendly, doing good to one another and treating one another as family, being tender-hearted and compassionate, loving someone else, your neighbor, the stranger, as much as you love yourself. Rowan Williams describes kindness as being glad in and delighting in one another. So what if the future of education was as attentive to creating cultures of kindness as it was to achieving academic excellence? I don't think it's a binary choice. You can actually be clever and kind. The best portion of a good man's life is his little nameless unremembered acts of kindness and of love. So said William Wordsworth. We find our truths in the poetic as well as the scientific, in faith, not just in certainty. We can find our truths in beauty and in justice. In our world today, I would argue there is a great need to sow the seeds of the future in the soil of kindness, that quality which sees each other as kindred, as neighbor, as part of who we are, seeing each other as someone within whom Christ dwells. If we could only use our education to build a world which places love at the heart of every human endeavor, what a wonderful world that would be. What flowers would strew our way. We can build colonies on the moon. We can create artificial intelligences. We can solve the mathematical conundrums at the heart of the universe. We can speak a multitude of different languages and construct great cities. We can translate ancient manuscripts. We can read our own DNA and discover new curative medicines. We can write the most beautiful music and literature. We can develop the most lucrative businesses and lead peoples and nations. And yet, do we have the wisdom to realize that our greatest human potential is in our capacity for love? And the best education will lead us into our fullest vocation to be kind, humankind. Our best portion in life, as an alumnus of this college once said, is our little, nameless, often unremembered acts of kindness and love. Because when all things turn to dust, this is what will be left. This is how we will be remembered. If we could all commit to learning in this way, let's say at the University of Life, we could not only change our lives, we really could change the world. To the glory of the one and only living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.